It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, it was a busy day Tuesday on Capitol Hill. The House voted 222 to 208 to hold Mark Meadows, the former White House chief of staff under Donald Trump, in contempt of Congress for defying a subpoena issued by the January 6th committee. Representatives Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger were the only Republicans to vote for the resolution. Meadows, a former congressman from North Carolina, had initially complied with the committee. He turned over emails and texts, some 9,000 pages of them, but then stopped cooperating and failed to appear for his deposition last week. The vote by the full House followed Monday night's unanimous vote by the committee to recommend the criminal contempt charges. They made the case for why Meadows' testimony was needed for their investigation in dramatic fashion. Liz Cheney, the vice chair of the committee, reading text messages sent to Meadows during the attack on the Capitol from members of Congress, Fox News hosts, and even Donald Trump Jr.
Mark, the president needs to tell people in the Capitol to go home. This is hurting all of us. He is destroying his legacy, Laura Ingraham wrote. Please get him on TV, destroying everything you have accomplished, Brian Kilmeade texted. Quote, can he make a statement? Ask people to leave the Capitol, Sean Hannity urged. As the violence continued, one of the president's sons texted Mr. Meadows, quote, he's got to condemn this shit ASAP. The Capitol Police tweet is not enough, Donald Trump Jr. texted. Meadows responded, quote, I'm pushing it hard. I agree. Still, President Trump did not immediately act. Donald Trump Jr. texted again and again, urging action by the president. Quote, we need an Oval Office address. He has to lead now. It has gone too far and gotten out of hand, end quote. But hours passed without necessary action by the president.
Afterwards, Cheney proclaimed that these non-privileged texts are further evidence of President Trump's supreme dereliction of duty during those 187 minutes. The criminal contempt referral now goes to the Justice Department for possible prosecution. Interesting comment by Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who told reporters that he was not in contact with Meadows during the attack on the Capitol, but added,
but I do think we're all watching, as you are, what is unfolding on the House side. And it will be interesting to reveal all the participants who were involved.
So McConnell, who fought against the committee, is now looking forward to the results of their work, revealing all the participants who were involved. All righty then. By the way, the voting on the contempt charge was halted for around 40 minutes after Republicans were offended by something Steny Hoyer said. It appears the offending comment was offered in this clip.
Legitimate election, he voted against certifying the election of the President of the United States. So I'm not surprised that the gentleman from Indiana does not want to see this subpoena honored because, Madam Speaker, I believe that he fears the information that would be brought forward.
It seems to me that my friend, the gentleman from Maryland, disparaged the gentleman from Indiana here personally and should have his words taken down.
The gentleman is the gentleman making a demand?
Is the gentleman making a demand that words be taken
down? Yes, I am.
I don't know what was so offensive, but they demanded that those words be removed from the record. What I find interesting is the fact that this episode happened not too long after Marjorie Taylor Greene called Democrats communists.
I rise in opposition to this resolution to hold Mark Meadows in contempt of Congress because it's being held by nothing but a kangaroo court. Congress's job is to make laws, not enforce them. That's the role of the executive and the judicial branch of this government. But somehow the communists here in charge have forgotten, or no, not forgotten, or purposely abusing the Constitution and what this body of Congress is supposed to do.
Which is more offensive? The Senate was also busy on Tuesday. They voted 50 to 49 along party lines to approve a $2.5 trillion debt ceiling increase that lawmakers expect to extend the nation's borrowing ability well into 2023. This was only possible after Congress cleared a separate piece of legislation last week, giving the Senate a one-time exemption from the 60-vote threshold needed to pass the debt limit hike because of the filibuster with a simple majority vote. It was an unusual maneuver resulting from a compromise between the Senate leaders to lift the debt limit with only Democratic votes, but also avoid the budget reconciliation process. So the Senate voted Tuesday to raise the debt ceiling. All Democrats backed it. All Republicans opposed it. One Republican was out sick, so it passed by 50-49. Up next, a final vote on the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, is likely in the Senate on Wednesday. So while they're getting some things done, there are a couple of things still on the table. Build Back Better and voting rights. And there is a major push to get those voting rights done. And all they need is another deal to suspend the filibuster or get rid of it entirely. Senator Mark Warner on Tuesday tweeted, quote, "The Senate has shown it cannot do its basic duty and find 60 senators to support basic voting rights. So I support changing the rules around the filibuster for voting rights legislation. I suggest Senator Warner talk with his friends Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema." Washington, D.C.'s Attorney General Carl Racine on Tuesday filed a lawsuit against the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers over their alleged role in the January 6th attack. The lawsuit holds those far-right groups responsible for the violence by a mob of the former guy's supporters trying to prevent lawmakers from certifying Trump's election loss. The lawsuit invokes a modern version of the Ku Klux Klan Act to seek large financial penalties. An attorney representing two of the defendants called the lawsuit a fantasy targeting the wrong people. Yeah, right. Moving on to COVID, federal health officials warned on Tuesday that the fast-spreading Omicron variant could peak with a big wave of infections that could overwhelm hospitals as soon as January. Pfizer on Tuesday announced that a study confirmed that its coronavirus pill helps prevent severe COVID-19. The drug maker said the antiviral pill also proved effective in laboratory studies against the new Omicron variant, which is expected to overtake Delta as the dominant strain in the U.S. within weeks. Donald Trump's legal troubles keep piling up. On Tuesday, U.S. District Judge Trevor McFadden ruled that the Treasury Department can release the former guy's tax records to the House Ways and Means Committee. McFadden, by the way, is a former Trump Justice Department official. He put the ruling on hold pending a likely appeal, but at least things are moving. And finally, the Associated Press reported Tuesday on a review of every flagged ballot by Trump and others in the 2020 presidential election. And they found that there were fewer than 475 potential cases of voter fraud in the six battleground states that the former guy disputed. Far too few to change the results of the 2020 presidential election. President Biden beat Trump in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin by a total of 311,257 votes. The Associated Press also found that there was no collusion among the people who cast the fraudulent ballots. Trump responded to the AP report by repeating his baseless claim that the election was stolen from him through voter fraud. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.